time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. We do this for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. I'm feeling pretty fresh here for this early hour.
Yeah. I was thinking about you this morning. I said, has Bruce written a Game 7 story of an NBA playoff? Have you written a Game 7?
I have. I covered the NBA playoffs through a lot of Michael Jordan's prime.
Okay.
Not that they had a lot of Game 7s. I'd actually have to look up. There haven't been many of them that I've covered, actually, but I have done it, and it's pretty special. It's when the Game 7 anywhere, Stanley Cup, World Series, to me far exceeds the Super Bowl. It's just there's something about it. You've been playing for almost 2 weeks, and it comes to a head, and it should be really exciting.
Yeah, and anything can happen. You know, you always say, boy, you don't want to, of course, if you're losing, you want a Game 7. But, you know, if you're winning, you say, yeah, we don't need this because anything can happen. You know, I think of Bob Gibson, seriously, in 1968 against the Tigers. And, you know, Bob Gibson was just so dominant in the World Series, and he gets into a game, and Curt Flood slips. A ball goes over his head in center field, and Gibson loses the game 2-0.
Yeah, Jim Northrup hit that ball, right?
That's correct. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But, Bruce, let's talk about baseball a little bit. This bullpen stuff for me is really getting interesting. And the Kershaw game last night, and you bring the bullpen in. Kershaw is having the greatest month other than a Clemens, Pedro, or Randy Johnson. The history of the sport, he's walked 5 and struck out 100 this year. And they bring somebody in, and he gives up the run, and then now it's a tie game, and now the Mets bring their guy in, and they end, and the Mets end up losing the game. The White Sox, day after day, they lost 3 to the Royals. I'm telling Bruce, whoever gets Andrew Miller or Aroldis Chapman may win the pennant.
Yeah, no kidding. It's always amazing to me. Who would you rather have out there in New York, Kershaw or Liberatore? Dave Roberts hadn't made a trip to the mound for Kershaw all year, either to talk to him or to take him out. Well, you shouldn't have made it yesterday. I mean, it's the middle of an inning. He just gotten a couple outs. What the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the game gets away. You know, Sale had, he'd thrown 118 pitches, whatever. They threw in a guy, right-hander, with the worst arm slot release I've ever seen. Looks like he's aiming the ball. Gave up a huge home run, and it's just everything went sour. It always amazes me when you bring in somebody who's easily inferior to the guy who's out there, and it's not like the guy who's out there is all of a sudden is dead tired or throwing pitches down the middle.
I thought Hunter Strickland may have come upon something yesterday, and watching the game and listening to the guys talk about it, he seemed to go to his off-speed stuff, and he seemed to have some command of it and got everybody off balance, maybe one of his best innings in a while. The changeup all of a sudden, because all these guys throw 97, 98, 96, and the big leaguers can time it. If you can throw something off-speed with some accuracy, you can all of a sudden change your whole game.
Yeah, Strickland's really going to need that pitch. He's going to need a changeup and a slider, maybe even if he can get a 12-6 curveball in there too. They have 3 off-speed pitches, which the really good pitchers have now. Because, as you say, his fastball's been lit up by a lot of guys. You know, it's got pretty good movement, but not crazy. And the big league hitters will time that, especially if looking for it. If that's his out pitch, they know it's coming. It could work out poorly.
So, Jeff Samardzija today, the wide receiver from Notre Dame. And, you know, he broke through with the Cubs in 2014. He was an all-star that year. And, of course, then he gets traded either 13 or 14, whatever year it was. And now the guy is 7-2. He's a dominant pitcher. And for the first time in his career, he has a chance to win 4 straight. He has just come alive here.
Yeah, what a great pickup. I really like that acquisition from the beginning. When he was at Notre Dame, somehow I started watching those games. I usually watch Notre Dame at least the first couple quarters every week. And, you started watching him with the hair coming out of his helmet, catching passes from Brady Quinn, and they were doing great. They're a national story. And this guy was, a tremendous football player and could have played in the NFL. He chose baseball, which is always an interesting thing, but he was an extremely smart move. I mean, he knows very well he could be out of the NFL by now with a knee injury or something like that. But you know, he worked a little bit with Rigetti and Gardner, and but I don't think they felt like they had to make a lot of adjustments with this guy. At least that's what I read from Rigetti. He said, this guy's got great stuff. As long as he's getting the breaking pitch over, he's going to be very tough to hit. And, you know, like all the Giants pitchers, even you know, Kane and Peavy, who've been struggling, just a great competitor, this guy. And that's such a great thing to have. He's everything you want, and, you know, he's going to be a fan favorite, and just a hell pickup, Marty. Great pickup.
Yeah, and, you know, Bruce, I said this stat today, and, you know, this quality start thing, you know, all of a sudden 6 innings, 3 runs, quality start. Congratulations, you're in the Hall of Fame. but, you know, that's nothing for these guys. 6 innings, 3 runs, no. It's trouble for the big three of them.
That's not a quality. I've never thought that was a quality start for anybody, unless it's some kid who just came up from Double A. For somebody like Samardzija or Cueto, who's got some pride, how about 8 innings with 1 run? That's a quality start.
Well, the point is they're 27-6 when they get 6 innings, 3 runs. 27-6. And Bruce, I'll tell you, we did the show last night. We had a lot of fun with it, trying to figure out of these three guys, Bumgarner and Cueto and Samardzija, and wins are so ephemeral. You know, anything can happen. You know, the bullpen can come in. You can, you know, lose a lead. You know, anything can happen. But these guys, they all have a shot at winning 20.
Yeah. And who's got the second best record in the game now behind the Cubs? The Giants.
Yeah.
And this 6-15 ball, and they really looked the part. I mean, the fact that they started hitting was just no surprise. If we've all followed these guys, they're good hitters, and you know, Posey called a team meeting, you know, which is always interesting. But I think it's more, you know, coincidental that, I mean, they just were going to hit, especially in Colorado's a good place to have a hitters meeting, because you're probably going to go out and get about 8 runs.
Well, I said that yesterday. Art Howe told me, if you're going to have a meeting before a game, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Really, you don't say. We're facing Randy Johnson now. Come on, let's get it together. So you're right. They go to Colorado. They're going to hit anyway, and they had the meeting, and that makes it look good. But now the Dodgers take on the Cubs, and the Giants take on Atlanta. Then this weekend, Giants, Cardinals, and Braves, and Dodgers. So it all evens out as we go through the week. But Joe Maddon said on the laser controversy and the marks in the outfield, he could care less. He says, you could do whatever you want out there. You could put marks all over the place. I don't care what you do. Come on, Joe Maddon, a little different than Terry Collins.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's they're both. I like both reactions. I mean, Terry Collins' reaction is the one. I mean, knock it off with the markers already. You know, but Maddon, he's always got a little bit different take, which I love about him. So that's quite all right. But Dodgers Cubs is going to be great. I've got today's game on the dish. I get the Major League package, so I'm going to be able to watch all those games, and that's going to be great.
Very good. Did you get to hear Hank Greenwald at all?
If I'd only known. It was a little bit early wake-up call today, and if I'd only known, I would have gotten up even earlier.
Yeah, it'll be on our page, but don't miss it. He talks about the early days of the NBA.
And
it was such a contrast, and we really wanted to put it on today with tonight, you know, the biggest game in Warrior history, probably.
And then Hank
talking about the early days of the NBA, where the bus broke down on the way back to Syracuse, and there's Wilt Chamberlain and Paul Arizin and all these guys pushing the bus up a hill in the snowstorm. And tonight, you got the confetti ready to come down on probably the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA. What a difference. What a league this has turned into.
Yeah, and you know, there was a pretty good spell there where the Warriors telecasts were handled by Bill King and Hank Greenwald.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about legendary guys, and it was an incredible combination between a guy who followed the play-by-play in any sport that he covered, as well as anybody in history, and then Hank, you know, with the great sense of humor. Priceless stuff, and it's not like the Warriors are winning titles, but you know, those telecasts were worth it just to hear those guys work. But, yeah, I mean, an awful long way from just, you know, the horrendous travel conditions back then, you know, sometimes on trains, 6'10" guys in economy class, you know.
Doubleheaders.
Hank said
he'd be watching the Fort Wayne Pistons, which became the Detroit Pistons, against the Royals, and he couldn't understand why people were screaming and yelling in the first game of a doubleheader. because he said everybody in the Garden bet on it. It was a, it was that's the way the NBA got noticed. Everybody
Absolutely.
Bet it. So
yeah.
It was crazy. Boy, what I love the roots of baseball, basketball, and all that. It really explains a lot. All right, one more thing for you. Jake Peavy now goes tomorrow, and then, of course, maybe Suarez on Wednesday. A little bit more pressure on Peavy now with Kane out to get his game on and be consistent.
Yeah, well, there is. I think whether Kane's in there or not or whatever's going on, the main factor is that they're in first place, and they've some really good feelings about the team. It's not like, geez, they've lost 7 out of 8. You know, the Dodgers are in the lead now, and Peavy, you know, has to win this game. You know, it's not quite like that. That should help him. He should go out there and be loose and easy, and not get too pumped up, and just try to to be himself. He's pretty jacked up guy anyway. But they can afford a little bit of faltering from him. They'd rather not. So it's going to be Suarez. He's going to get that start?
I would think so, unless they need him today or tomorrow. With Samardzija today and Peavy tomorrow, who knows?
Yeah.
But Stratton is there just in case. So, But I think they prefer Suarez starting on Wednesday. It's more important to be the starter than be the long reliever. So I would assume he will start Wednesday.
Well, Kruko and Kuiper have been talking up Suarez's hitting, watching him in the cage. So let's hope he gets a few at-bats and can show that off.
All right. Hey, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but the Sharks open up tonight as well. We forgot about that. With all that's going on, how about that?
Who was that again? it is great. This is a great time in the Bay Area. I'm a little embarrassed to say I haven't followed hockey for a number of years, but I did cover it way, way back in the early 70s at the Santa Monica Evening Outlook, the L.A. Kings at the Forum. And, you know, to be at a game is spectacular. And I happened to be in the Garden, Madison Square Garden, the night the New York Islanders won the Stanley Cup.
Really?
I was there for basketball, for the Houston-New York finals. And I'm in the Garden. It was one of the greatest moments in the history of New York sports. And they win the cup. They're skating around with it. I'm watching all these big, tough guys in the stands. They're just weeping. You know, they've been,
really?
Their whole lives have been built around this team. And, man, what a moment that was. So if the Sharks hit to a Game 7, that's going to be, or whatever, it's going to be fantastic.
Wow. All right. Good day. Good Memorial Day. A lot to think about why we have Memorial Day, but a lot of good sports for entertainment. Bruce, thank you so much. Enjoy the day. I look forward to talking to you next week.
You bet, Marty. Thank you.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.